Hey guys, I'm Evelyn.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is Ironic, the show everyone's talking about, but they don't even know it. So our inboxes have been popping with all of your suggestions for episodes and what you guys want to hear next. I, for one, am loving it, and I'm happy to tell y'all to keep a lookout for some of those suggestions popping up on some episodes in the coming weeks. And maybe even some bonus episodes.
Ooh.
Keep sending those ideas in on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, because we're happy to listen. And you guys have some really good memes we've never seen or we haven't considered talking about, and we have now.
Anyway, on to the episode. Get that guitar jam flowing. It's Ironic. Since we're all under quarantine, we thought it'd only be appropriate to talk about kind of the workforce, I guess, today a little bit. Because, I mean, everybody's kind of broken up into three categories right now. You're either unemployed, an essential worker, or you're working from home. And today's podcast is all going to be all about those people who are working from home. Mostly because you and I are both doing that right now. And it is just a whole new world, really.
It's wild. Because I transitioned from essential worker to willfully unemployed to working from home. So I've kind of experienced all of them, but definitely prefer the working from home because there's a paycheck and I'm not afraid I'm going to die every time I show up to my desk. So it's not so bad.
And as you said that, I'm actually in two of the categories too, because I was both laid off and I'm working from home from two different jobs. So
yeah,
everybody pretty much gets covered here. So I guess we can talk from a little bit of every perspective today, can't we?
I guess we can. So I think the number one thing that comes up, because I mean, there's so many memes and videos coming out now about people who are trying to work from home, especially people who have never done it before. And like there's Zoom meetings going on, which is actually presenting a lot of new challenges and opportunities that we really haven't thought of before.
Yeah, like the news anchors. Have you been seeing the videos of those lately where you have news anchors at home who are, you know, in like a private office or, you know, wherever they're at, and things are just going bonkers in the background?
Yeah, it reminds me of, do you remember way back when there was this video of this like senator or someone who was in his personal office and his little kids like came into the room and then you see his wife like fly in and just like grab him and yank him out? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, she noomed in there.
And that was so popular because it was just so funny and weird and like not something you see every day, and now that's happening on almost every single Zoom meeting.
Yeah, and like animals, I think, are becoming like the stars of the show right now. I don't know if you saw the news anchor who had his cat up on a mantle, who was just going to town on himself during his recording. I think it was on the John Oliver Last Week Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. He showed it on there. And you don't notice a word that guy is saying because that cat is just digging up in there. And it's so funny because, of course, you can't, like, turn around and yell at the cat while you're recording, like, you're on live TV.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because I'm kind of thinking about it now, and you get distracted on Zoom meetings or whatever your online platform is whenever you're talking and then you hear, you know, like, a kid in the background or, like, a baby. And like me, I'll get really annoyed because I'll be trying to listen to someone or they'll be trying to say something and then there's like a baby. But then if there's a dog that like comes on screen, everyone stops what they're doing and they're like super happy to be distracted by this dog.
There's a dog?
Right. There's like a huge double standard about it, but I definitely contribute to that double standard because I love animals.
Oh yeah, no, like I have a coworker who has a baby on, and for the most part, everybody's relatively quiet when the baby comes on. But then, like another one, her cat will jump on screen, and everybody's just stop the meeting. Big old floofy boy in the house.
And then you have people who are like setting up funny backgrounds. Like I've seen, there's a Zoom meeting background template online that you can download. That's The Office. So I know you don't watch The Office, Kyle. Y'all can hate on Kyle for this because he hates The Office.
Office sucks.
It doesn't. But the meeting room where they're sitting in the conference room being interviewed and you can see The Office in the back, that's the template that's on Google. So you can be like interviewing at The Office, which is funny. And then that one that you saw where there's the guy made it himself and it's like him like walking in on his own meeting.
Yeah, he like pretends like he's opening a door. Well, he is opening a door in the video, but it looks like he is come into the room where he is having a meeting and he does like a, oh, sorry, I'm here, you know, and like bolts out. And it's just like, just the ingenuity behind that. Like, that's so funny. And then like, you can do whatever you want with your backgrounds. Like that boss who accidentally sent himself as a potato for the whole meeting. Like, imagine you are on a Zoom meeting and your boss has changed to potato mode, or you weren't even in the meeting to begin with, and you come in and they're in potato mode and no one has explained to you that they're stuck and can't undo it.
It's potato boss.
So do you ask him about it? Do you just leave it be and say, well, boss is a potato now?
And then you have, there's so many creative things with Zoom, but there's so many drawbacks too, especially for people who are learning online right now, and professors or teachers have to give out their code to like a bunch of different people at once, and then it gets in the hands of some other kid from another class, and then you have these like Zoom bombings going on is what they're called.
What is a Zoom bombing?
So you've probably heard about it, just probably not called Zoom bombings, but when a bunch of people jump on a Zoom call that weren't supposed to be invited, and they essentially just like internet troll with Zoom bombings. I mean, there was a group of high school students who were trying to do their class online, and a bunch of other like younger students came on and started like typing and like racial slurs and saying really rude things and just being loud and disruptive. And some people were posting, like, sharing their screens with videos of, like, inappropriate images. And it's really problematic, especially for students who are minors right now, and they don't need to be experiencing that on top of everything else, you know?
Right, like, here I am just trying to learn. I'm already probably bored out of my mind. Which, I mean, it's probably funny sometimes to the kids. If it's not, like, racial slurs, of course, because, like, you know, nobody's, mm-hmm. you know, nobody should be enjoying that. But I mean, like, I, like, as a kid, I probably would have enjoyed that, but I also came from a place where I doubt they're doing online stuff. And even now, like, I was in high school in, you know, 2010, and I bet even now they probably don't have, like, the capabilities for online classes.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would have enjoyed that at the time.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is, like, kids can get so distracted with that, even if it is funny to them, because even after you deal with the problem, you can't settle a classroom down after that.
No. You're already going wild.
Yeah.
And, like, you have one voice out of, you know, 20 or 30 who are all coming from one channel. So you can't, yeah, I guess you're stuck. Like,
yeah, the day's over. And there's a bunch of strategies and articles online now for how to prevent Zoom bombings, which is just a sad reality that there has to be so many self-help articles for, like, how do you not make your students feel super uncomfortable in classrooms where it should be a safe space anyway? Like, it's just rough. Like, teachers are already trying to learn how to convert their entire lessons, and now this is just one more thing, especially for teachers who just aren't technologically savvy. And speaking, like, as someone who's going into teaching, you should know how to incorporate technology into your classroom. Yes, like, that is a key component of being a teacher. But I give a little slack for teachers who aren't super great with Skype or Zoom or whatever, because when have you ever needed that in a classroom?
Right, like, that's a brand new thing that none of us were prepared for. Maybe if you were just already, like, a techie person anyways, you're ahead of the curve. But, I mean, even just integrating it in just in your daily life is a whole big change. Now, imagine doing that for, you know, 20, 30 kids, yeah, who some may have great internet and it works great, some don't, and, you know, they might get half of what you said. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, a lot to deal with. And then you have trolls on the internet who have to try to ruin everything for everybody. Shout out to the trolls. Y'all are figuring out how to work in this this new society we're in now pretty easily, but I think we always knew that they would anyways.
Yeah, I mean, we always know that trolls and people evolve with the times. I mean, like, we've always known that bullying, racism, whatever, doesn't go away. You know, it just evolves.
It finds its way into a video call.
Yeah, exactly. But there are, like, troubles with video calls, too, because you and I are mostly doing our work via Zoom. I mean, right now, my main, you know, food service, customer support, whatever you want to call it, I'm still in, like, training, quote, for it, which isn't really training, but training. And it essentially just consists of me sitting down and listening to, like, three different people describe what they do on a day-to-day. And there are a couple people whose, like, mics will cut out, or their audio or video or whatever. And then we just have to, like, go back 5 minutes because they had no idea we couldn't hear them. And it just keeps restarting. And I can't even imagine if there was like something else on top of that making it take longer, because it's still information that needs to be covered, you know, like I have to hear it. That would just annoy the heck out of me.
Yeah, and think if, like, from your trainer's perspective, they weren't thinking, you know, a month ago, oh, I'm going to have to start doing all of my trainings that I've been doing for, like, a year or two in this job online.
Yeah, that's you.
I'm not prepared for that, yeah. Like, for my program, I run what's basically all sports all day, every day. You know, we're getting out, doing things, being active, and that's completely shut down. Like, that's a thing that, like, my program was not prepared for. And, it didn't make sense to think we would need to prepare for that because nobody expects a global pandemic. But, yeah, it's weird having to completely change everything mm-hmm. on the fly in a way that gets, I don't know, maybe even half as productive as you used to be in person. And that feels like a win when it's even half as productive.
Right. And that's another thing is, like, I am thriving in this new system. Like, and it's weird because I always say I'm like customer service focused and I like to interact with people as part of my job, but being able to sit at home in my pajamas and talk to someone on the phone without having showered in like 12 hours,
woo,
which I don't do, but I have the opportunity to, and that's what I like. My inner introvert is just loving this system. And I feel bad for the extroverts and people who are, like, need social contact. But I'm good on, like, the phone for 2 minutes a day with my customer and then, like, taking a nap. Like, this is my time.
Yeah, so I've kind of made two takeaways from, like, introverts and extroverts during this time. One, either most people are introverts, or two, extroverts don't know what it means to be introverts, so they think they're introverts.
You're going to have to explain that one for me.
So, like, I've seen tons of people who I would consider to be extroverted posting about how much they're loving this. Like, they're loving working from home, loving not having to deal with people. But I would think those people, like, those are the people who I work with. I've seen them. I know them. And they love talking to people, or at least they seem like they love talking to people. And that makes me wonder if over, you know, I mean, one would assume it's like 50-50 introvert, extrovert. Maybe it's a lot more introverts who just pretend to be extroverted. Maybe it's like an 80-20 split where only like 1 in 5 people actually enjoys talking to people. Or we're all, or we're faking it. Or like we don't have a good idea of what introvert or extrovert actually means.
Okay, so of course I have research on this, but I definitely have research to answer your question on how many people are introverts versus extrovert, and there are more introverts in our population than extroverts.
Well, what's the split?
So I read a book. I'm going to plug it real quick. There's a book called Quiet. It's essentially talking about how the world is pretty much designed right now for extroverts. You know, because, I mean, you need to collaborate with people. You need to have customer service. And like you said, you know tons of people out there constantly who are doing, you know, the extrovert stuff. But there's actually research that shows introverts tend to be more productive overall. And introversion is 57%, while extroversion is 43%.
I think, honestly, I think that introverted number should be higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just based off the memes I'm seeing online, but I don't know how many of us are just pretending to be extroverted to the point where we think we're extroverted.
Right, because there's another study here that I'm looking at that shows introverts make up 30 to 50% of the population, according to some other studies. So it's not really guaranteed. I guess it depends on how you do your research, because you're probably going to reach more extroverts than introverts if you're trying to, like, make an opportunistic study.
Gosh, we can go down the big old rabbit hole of how any methodological study does not work ever because of X and Y factors, so we won't go into that.
That's for a different day. But I feel like, yeah, this is a huge, almost like social experiment, because you have people who are thriving, and then you have people who are, like, they have a lot to do. Like, you have people who are parents, teachers, and employees at the same time right now. Like, that's their title, you know, because they can't go to daycare anymore with their kids, you know, and they, it's not all schools are doing online learning, so they have to teach their kids. And so it's really killing productivity for some people. And then you have people like me who are like, I can take 50 calls a day because you know, my social battery hasn't decharged because I'm not talking to all these extra people. You know, I can do all this extra work and be super productive. So it's a weird balance between extrovert, introvert, and like just regular life responsibilities on top of it.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think for me, it's not even an introvert, extrovert thing so much as it's a time is meaningless in a quarantine. So like from the moment I wake up at whatever time that is in the morning to whatever time I go to bed, I guess at night, I don't know, they're all blending together. There's no difference. It's not a here's work time. Like there's here's work time. All right, I got a minute to play a game of 2K or something on the side and then back to work and just do that until I pass out at night. Or, you know, like it might be whatever. I don't know. Like there's no meaning to time anymore. And that's so strange how like it all just blends together.
Yeah, I kind of see it because it's interesting because you are like upper management in what you do. And I am very bottom of the totem pole in my new little side hustle right now. And so you kind of get to make your own schedule because you're salaried, you know, you don't really have hours much anyway, but I do still have a schedule that I have to follow, but it's changing so much with like the demands of the program that I'm going from working from 8 a.m. to like normal work hours. And now next week I'm going to be working until midnight. And then the week after that, it'll be till 2 a.m. So I'm going to have no idea how my body is going to react.
And it doesn't matter because time is meaningless in a quarantine.
Unless you have a training at 8 a.m., which means you can't have a morning mimosa.
Mimosas are meaningless in a quarantine.
Though I did the other day, I did drink beer out of a coffee thermos on one of my Zoom meetings. That did happen.
Garbage. Absolute garbage. But it's interesting, at least for you and me, because like we are stuck in this apartment together. One bedroom, one bath, you know, we got probably, what, 800 square feet amongst us to share with also two annoying cats who won't leave us be.
But they're so cute.
Yeah. And I feel like we're really making it, you know, right now. Like, we're getting tired of being in that house, but we're not tired of seeing each other.
I literally made a joke the other day that we might need counseling after this is over because we're so dependent on each other that I literally don't know what we're going to do once we both have day schedules and we have to go 8 hours without seeing each other.
Yeah, it's like right now I'll do like a 20-minute phone call and by the end of it, I'm like, I want to see Evelyn.
And it's wild because all of the memes and all of the stuff you see online is essentially how there's going to be a bunch of divorces after the quarantine. And
babies.
Yeah, which is doesn't add up. Babies and divorce. But like literally the other day on the news, I forget what channel it was, I was watching it and they were talking about what is okay to leave the house for. And they were talking about how you can deem it essential if you need to get away from your partner. Like if you just need a break. And they said like you can even go stay at someone else's house. And that's acceptable, which goes against everything we know about social distancing, but the fact that mental health is so important and it's becoming so much of a problem between couples that it has to be like addressed. And I'm not seeing any other people talking about the codependence that we're like kind of creating. I really only see people who are talking about how they're ready to like rip their partner's face off.
All right, which friendly reminder, don't rip your partner's face off. Unless you really want to, in which case that's up to you. We won't. But you do you.
So you have more babies and more divorces, which I get because I mean boredom. But I almost want to like take the mic. Our cat is literally scratching the door and screaming. Like cats have a sixth sense about this stuff.
When can I be the most annoying humanly possible? Because she has not wanted love all day and now she wants nothing but to hang out with us.
I mean, some of y'all asked for a special guest appearance, though, from Kariki after our Instagram post with the mic, so...
That's true, yeah. So there you go.
It's a curse. You asked for this. All right, but what we were about to say before we were so rudely interrupted by our cat was, what are your guys' thoughts? Like, are you introverts and are you thriving like I am? Or are you an extrovert who is just kind of like hiding in the shadows being really sad? Do you need to do a Zoom call with us real quick?
Or, oddly enough, are you an introvert who wants to get out?
True. I mean, because we are a little 50-50. Like, Kyle and I have a weekly Zoom call with like all of our friends, and one of them is like a really big extrovert who needs that time. But we have like a weekly thing just so that we can kind of interact with everyone that we miss. So it's kind of like a 50-50 for us.
Yeah, and how many of you out there are looking for your divorce lawyer already or are looking into your codependence counseling because you're getting way too close to each other?
Seriously, though, like, I need to know if anyone else is experiencing that.
And what do y'all think is going to happen now that we're in this giant forced social experiment, you know? Are we going to come out of this and go right back to the way we were before? Or do you think we're going to, you know, change it up completely and suddenly a lot more jobs are going to be working from home, working remotely, working whatever hours they want? Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, personally, though, like, with the social experiment thing, I originally thought that nothing was going to change. Like, once this is over, everyone's going to go back. Because you have people who are, like you said, at 50% production or productivity. Because we're not really a factory here, but anyway.
I have produced 10 phone calls.
I mean, but so I thought, like, it would go right back. But my company right now just sent out a message about remote work, because originally it was absolutely no. Like, it's not even something you consider. Like, you don't work remotely. You work from the office with the tools. But since they had to send everyone their own tools, now they all have access to that. And they literally said that they are looking into their remote work policy, which is absolutely unheard of. Because for us, our productivity has actually increased overall.
Really?
Which, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are a food delivery service and it's quarantine. Like, that has a lot to do with it. But if it's something that works, why not reevaluate?
Right. I mean, you can save a ton of money as a business by not having a physical presence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's rent, that's bills, electric, utilities that basically your employees now pay because they're at home. Does that end up being cheaper? Or is it like, well, no, it works a lot better when I can see my employees face to face. So we don't have like, oh, I have one employee who's, you know, lower wage, who has bad internet, and like they get the job done, but we can't really talk to them because their Wi-Fi is so slow that we can't have a video call.
Yeah. And a part of it, I think, is also liability, because I know personally my company really values company culture and really values time at the office and face-to-face interactions. They value that so much, so that I know they would still have their physical office. So is it a liability to have thousands of dollars in equipment in someone else's house that, what if they never bring it back? You know, what if they end up moving and they just never see you again? Is it worth it?
Good question. Or are we all going to end up being like, and you probably haven't even seen this movie, but are we going to all end up being like the fat people on WALL-E? I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but where they all basically just sit in chairs all day and just do stuff on the computer. Literally, they don't walk, they don't talk to other people. Everything they do is just...
I've seen the memes.
Yeah, that's basically the same thing. But are we all just going to end up like that, just working from home on our couches with our big old guts hanging out, you know, just J-chilling all day, every day?
I have lost weight on this quarantine. I just want the world to know, so.
Must be nice. But with all that said, it's time to get down to the ironic and sardonic.
Yes!
So for today's segment of the ironic and sardonic, we're going to start, of course, with the ha-ha-ha ironic.
Shocking.
I always get to go first. And, the irony of this situation here with working from home is that it seems like a lot of people used to dread going into work. I know that I was definitely one of those people in various jobs where I'm like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to go through traffic.
Me.
I don't want to deal with any of that stuff. And now, like, my company's, we were pretty ahead of the curve, so we're actually on, like, week 6 now of working from home. And I'm ready to get in my car, go sit in Nashville traffic for 30 minutes to drive 4 miles and see everybody and worry about those awkward interactions in the kitchen with someone I don't know that well, where we pretend like we know each other enough to talk, you know, and I'm ready for that hour and a half long drive back that's the same distance, and I'm ready to get back to my second job too, you know, like I'm ready to get back to the hustle and bustle, because I don't know how to work in a situation where I have one, just one job, and two, doing it all from my house. So I think that's what a lot of people are dealing with, is they're just ready to get out of the house. They're ready to go back to their normal lives, and their normal lives is going to work where they used to not want to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just now thinking of this. The number one thing I always would complain about is Nashville traffic. And I went to go pick up something for you yesterday. I think we talked about this before, but I just... driving. Like, I was so happy driving in my car, like, sitting at red lights and just being outside of the house and moving around. I don't know what it was, but, like, the other day I was like, let's go on a drive. Like, let me just drive for an hour in the car, doing literally nothing else, just to do something other than being home. And I used to hate traffic and driving, and, like, I would literally get anxious driving, and you knew that. And then the other day we're driving, what, an hour in the, like, pouring rain, and I'm just, like, Jay chilling.
Yeah, it was fine. It was all good. And that's ironic.
It's so ironic. So, Into the Sardonic is mostly what we were talking about earlier with the big social experiment. Are we going to be able to keep working from home? Because there are people who are thriving. Like, yeah, there are people who want to get back to work, but then you have people like me and people also like you, because, I mean, I know you enjoy this for to the extent, right?
Yeah, it would be good if, like, my program had the ability to do it in any way, shape, or form that worked.
Yeah, it sucks because you literally can't, but then you have people like, you know, my company reestablishing their guidelines. But I feel like there are people who's going to ruin it for the rest of us. Those people who work at 50% productivity. And I've seen so many complaints and memes and Zoom screenshots from people who are like, these Karens are ruining it for the rest of us. Because you have someone who, like, has three kids on their lap. They can't hear them over the Zoom call. They can't answer any emails because they have kids. And I'm not saying you can't be a parent and work, right? And I'm not saying that it's completely inexcusable, you know, because that is hard. I just said it earlier, you know, like, you're a parent, you can't go to daycare, you're an employee, and you're teaching. Like, it's so much stuff to do. Like, how are you going to work from home? And I just see companies taking that and using that as the reason that no one else can work remotely. Because you have, like, 15% of a company who maybe just doesn't have the capabilities to work from home, or are abusing it in some other way, you know, to just not be as productive.
Oh, right, well, I mean, that's going to happen whether you're in the office or not. There's always people who are going to do 10% of what everybody else is doing.
Right, but it's just more noticeable now because now you can track their IPs.
True.
Like, now you can tell which employee really is and isn't answering. Because, I mean, you might still have shared inboxes, but you know who is and is not sending those emails out, you know. And it's, I just think it's something that companies are going to use to say, like, no, we can't work from remote because we're just not as effective, when maybe the majority of people are more effective, but because they're picking up everyone else's slack, it looks like you're exactly the same in productivity levels. And so that's something that I've seen a lot of complaints about and a lot of issues about. And that's something that's going to really frustrate me, too, if that's what it comes down to. If they do reevaluate their policies and change it, it would be amazing for me. And it would have great opportunities, especially for, like, moms who are working from home or stay-at-home moms full-time, you know? Or dads. You do have stay-at-home dads. Not gonna...
break the social norms.
Breaking social norms. I'm not gonna heteronormalize anything, but, like, it would be revolutionary for some people. The ability to do it would be great, and if Karen ruins it for the rest of us, I'm gonna be so mad.
We'll see what Karen does. We'll see what the rest of the world does. Let us know what you think's gonna happen. We're curious to see where opinions are on this, because we can't talk to most people out and about on normal days. So let us know what you think. Let us know your situation. You know, are you working from home? Are you unemployed? Are you an essential worker? Tell us your experiences. We're curious to hear about them. Let us know on Instagram or Facebook at Ironic Podcast, or at Twitter at Ironic_podcast, or send us a good old email at ironicpodcast@gmail.com. But until then, keep it ironic.
And send in your memes.
We love the memes.
Goodbye.